and bring Christian greetings and welcome each one to this part of the service. I've really enjoyed the singing this morning, and that last song we sang there, More Love to Thee, I trust that's each one of our desire. And as I was thinking about the opening meditation this morning, reflecting on the past weeks, months, and I was thinking about some of the messages we've heard in the last several weeks, the warnings, the teachings, and I thought, am I really taking it to heart? Is it really doing anything for me, or is it just a good message, and that's where it stops? Am I hearing what God has to say? Now, do I see the signs of the times? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 2, he says, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. We may look at the weather forecast more today than we look at the sky to see what's happening. Missouri and surrounding states, like Andy mentioned, we've had plenty of rain, it seems, the last several weeks. So much so that's a point of flooding. And some areas are flooding so fast that people got caught in situations that they weren't able to get away from the flooding. Families floating away in their house. One news clip that really stood out to me was of a car that was crossing a bridge that normally the water went under the bridge, but the water was rushing over it. This little sport utility vehicle was sitting there, had turned sideways and was just kind of hanging on the edge a little bit, and the water kept rushing, pushing. It kept moving, just slowly working its way on down. The man that was taking the video. He was hollering. He said, "Get out of there now! Get out of that car!" And there's no way that man could have faced that, the rushing waters. He would have been taken right over, or whoever was in the car. I don't know who or how many were in that vehicle. But it was precariously hanging over that edge, and it just kept working, slowly working down, facing upriver. Finally, water was rushing over the hood. The headlights were shining out through the water. It was teetering there on the edge. People on the other side were desperately running and shouting. Such a helpless situation. It looked like it might have been 75 yards or more wide. But there was no way of reaching that car as it kept rocking on that edge and working further and further. Suddenly it went over the falls, backwards, lights still eerily shining under the water. It floated along a while, and then it caught on something and rolled over and kept on going down, wheels up down the river. The desperation in the voices that were on that clip, the helplessness of the situation. As people all around us are hurling towards eternity, do we see the desperateness of the situation? There are many today that in the name of Christianity are prophesying a coming catastrophe. They're giving warnings of an economic collapse, of a powerful solar flares, and the list could go on. Somebody was talking to me yesterday, and it got very depressing. We can ignore all that. But I don't believe we should walk around in fear. But what I do believe is that we should be following the Word of God, the teachings of the Word. I was reading recently in some Anabaptist history, and I don't even remember who it was that was writing. But the writer said that they came to a point in time where the persecution stopped and affluence was... Things were going well for them financially. It seemed to be a pitfall. Many doctrines were dropped. Church discipline was a faded memory. You know, what is important? The man I was talking to here recently, you know, he said the important thing is to have a place to go. Have a place to get out. Have a valid passport. Have a residency in another country. You know, many are promoting that. There's a lot of money being made on that. You know, I don't think that's that important. Although I do feel sorry, on the other hand, I feel sorry for those who don't have a passport, who haven't been to another country. I think that's a blessing. That helps our perspective on life to see things from, you know, people in other countries and how things are. But that's not the all-important thing. Hebrews 11, if you want to turn with me there, I want to read some verses out of Hebrews 11, starting with verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 12. There sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. It says, by faith Abraham went out when God called him. You know, Abraham didn't need a passport to travel when God called him. He just went. But he went because he was a stranger and pilgrim here. His real citizenship was not here on this earth. You know, nothing here tied him down. He was looking for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. You know, is it important to you this morning to be a citizen of that country, to have your citizenship there? You know, if that kingdom isn't here, if the kingdom of God isn't in our hearts, we don't have our citizenship there. If we aren't following our master's footsteps, obeying his commandments, our citizenship isn't there. You know, if our citizenship is here, if this is where we belong, it'll hold us here. We can't expect that to change suddenly. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Ecclesiastes 11:3. You know, no man can change that. There's nothing we can do for anybody else in that way. When time is over, that's the way it is. You know, there's a lot of men and women that have gotten themselves out of tough predicaments by sheer determination and skill. But you know, there is nothing that we could have done to get us out of our own sinful predicament. Christ has done what we couldn't do. And we hear, only believe, only believe. Free grace. You know, I remember Brother Joe saying years ago in a sermon that if you really believe, you will do something about it. There will be a change. Somebody that says they believe and they don't do anything about it, they don't really believe. You know, I've often pondered that thought. And wondered, you know, I can really know something is here, but I might not do anything about it. But you know, if we really believe, we will do our part. You know, God has done all he could do. Only believe is right. But if we believe, we have a part to do. He gave of heaven's best. You know, the Creator came down on this earth. He died a cruel death so that you and I could live. You know, our part is to repent and obey. It's a condition. It's an act of eternal importance to us because its non-fulfillment prevents us from receiving the effective work of Christ in personal salvation. The act of appropriating salvation is one which only man can do. And I'll explain a little bit more of that later. The Christian life is a walk of repentance. And when that is real in our lives, you know, the fruit is obedience to His Word. Submitting to its authority in our lives and living it. You know, last Sunday we heard Brother David read from the book of James. And James talks about how faith and works, how they go together. You know, I was going to bring a coin up here, but I didn't. But if I had a quarter here, and I would take and I was able to somehow shear that quarter right in half, split it right down the middle, the head on one side, tails on the other side, or however you want to put it. But I'd shear that in half. That quarter, I'd still have the quarter, but it would be absolutely worthless, useless. You couldn't use it to buy anything. It would do nobody any good except for the little metal value in it. It would not be worth 25 cents. But together, it is worth a quarter, whatever a quarter buys. You know, isn't that a little bit the way faith and works work together? It has to go together. I'd like to read a little quote from Tozer. It says, "The message of the cross contains two elements. Number one, promises and declarations to be believed. Two, commandments to be obeyed." You know, obviously, faith is necessary to the first and obedience to the second. The only thing we can do with a promise or statement of fact is to believe it. It is physically impossible to obey it, for it is not addressed to the will, but to the understanding. It is equally impossible to believe a command. It is not addressed to our understanding, but to our will. True, we may have faith in its justice. We may have confidence that it is a good and right command, but that is not enough. Until we have either obeyed or refused to obey, we have not done anything about it yet. To strain to exercise faith toward that which is addressed to our obedience is to get ourselves tangled in a maze of impossibilities. So we have a part to do, and that is obedience, a walk of repentance. That is man's part. Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then Hebrews 5:9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." But does the word of God affect our lives? Do the warning signs and the signs around us shake us up? Do the souls that are rocking on the precipice take us to our knees? Or do we walk callously on with an occasional sigh and wishing we could do something about it? Yesterday, there was an adventurous little group from here that decided to navigate a swollen river with kayaks. And as I thought about that, it struck me that there are a lot of parallels we can make with the Christian life. Now, there were novices in that group that at least at first didn't realize the dangers and the importance of following rules. There were those that had much more experience. There were those that felt responsible as they worked through those obstacles and those rushing waters. Now, they were shouting encouragement and warnings to each other. They were, at times, risking their own safety to help others that were struggling. And thankfully, all of them returned safely, some of them with quite a bit more respect and experience under their belts, with the only loss being some equipment. But they all needed each other. You know, it was important to follow the rules, to stay together. You know, if any one of them would have wandered off by himself, especially the younger ones, with no one to help, it could have very easily ended up in disaster. You know, as we go through this life, you know, we need each other. We need the church. We need each other's help. I'd like to read a couple verses yet out of Matthew 7. You can just listen as I read them or look them up. Matthew 7, 24. Very familiar verses. Jesus talking here. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And I trust that's where, I believe that's where each one of us desire to be. And just leave that encouragement to make sure that what we're doing is founded upon the rock and is based upon the Word of God. Let's kneel for prayer.